Welcome to a shortened hour two of the game. John Kurtz with Tyler Dreiling, Travis Tannehill, and Mitch Fortner. 5:30 pregame coverage from the Royals Radio Network takes over as the Royals are in Detroit tonight to start a series with the Detroit Tigers. At the game 1350 on Twitter, if you follow myself, JL Kurtz on Twitter, you can see I just retweeted the video from K-State Athletics. Takes you through a tour of the Vanier Football Complex. The team got a chance to see it today, and there's a good video recapping everything. Looks pretty darn sweet from the video, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, it's incredible, and I think that my favorite part of the video, along with just seeing everything, is the players' reactions. Because they looked like, you know, kids on Christmas morning to see the new place and where they get to go in and go to work pretty much every day. And I think that it's going to be a great, great home for K-State football.
You got to click on the video just to watch Gronk's reaction, because it's classic Gronk. Well, dancing Gronk, in the hallways.
Yeah, Gronk was pretty great.
Being Gronk.
Well, he's always great. Although, what were we talking about last night? You think Gronk may have quite a bit of competition from
I know one Winston Gronk's Dimmel. Been, preseason predestined to win some conference awards, and I think there was even
Phil Steele has him as the best fullback prospect for the NFL in the country.
And I think he's going to have some competition there from Winston, just mainly in the running game. I think Winston might, be a little ISO blocker and a little bit better on the block standpoint. Glenn's athleticism is better than Winston's, but Winston from a pure traditional K-State fullback might be a little better fit. And I think he down the road, Winston's going to be a stud for us. But I think we might even see him stealing some reps from Gronk early on this year. Just, Coach Dimmel's trying to win games, and it happens to be his son, which is always a good thing.
I know you did some investigative research on the physique of Winston Dimmel.
Manhattan High kid.
I did see Winston at the pool the other day, and he's put on some weight. He looks good. So
Manhattan High kid, he knows.
Just a football way.
Winston Dimmel knows how to work hard, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, hard worker, and he's going to know the playbook, and he's going to know every nuance of every defense we play. So Winston will be there mentally, and I saw him with the shirt off the other day, so he's there. He's there physically.
Thank you for that.
537-1350, 866-776-1350. If anybody else has pool reports of K-State football players, I suppose we'll welcome those here to hour two of the show.
One other thing from the video that we watched, a couple notable things that were said by the players. Charles Jones saying that K-State's facility looks even better than LSU's.
I don't know if that was a direct wording. He at least said it compares to LSU's, didn't he?
I don't know if it's true. But I will say that I think K-State, from a recruiting standpoint, they're going to throw that video around quite a bit over the next couple of years, and it's probably going to get some attention.
Have our recruits been getting tours of this throughout the process? I'd imagine.
They've been getting.
Or do they keep it pretty locked down?
I would think some of that depends on. I know some of the tours that you're going through, you have to wear a hard hat and stuff. So I would guess so, though, probably. I remember when Tyler Lockett came in studio with us last month, he was talking about having gone through it the day before.
He is Tyler Lockett, though.
Yeah.
He is, but you want to bring in the next Tyler Lockett. So if you're a recruit and they think you could be the next Tyler Lockett, I think they'd take you through that thing.
Yeah. I'd use it if I was a coach or John Curry, whoever, I'd use that. We're paying for it. We might as well use it a few months early.
Did you guys think that Vanier was outdated when you were playing an old Vanier?
It was very functional. It had everything you needed, and it just didn't have some of the over-the-top touches that some of the other facilities had. But, you go down to – we played in visiting locker rooms that were nicer than our locker rooms. So it's it was time. It was time to – and, we're not going to be the – I know they're pumping, top in the country. But, I'm a little realistic and down-to-earth on that standpoint because, I've been to Oklahoma State. I've been to Nebraska. I've been to some of these other facilities that are just as nice as the one we just put out. Obviously they're a little dated now, 10 years 15 years, but some of the traditions that are at those places, but we're at least able to compete. We're in the ball game now for these recruits, so if you can win them over on your coaching staff and your players and our family environment, our facilities are definitely not a negative as they used to be. So we're on an even playing field now with some of the SEC schools. Shoot, some of these Big Ten schools hold 100,000 plus, so our facilities will definitely help us. It's definitely a positive for the program.
Well, old Vanier didn't have a lot of flash. Neither does the guy that I think is the most underrated player on the team this year in 2015, Travis Britz. We had this discussion yesterday. It was based on Travis Britz, in my opinion, was a snub from the Big 12 ESPN bloggers all underrated team in the conference. He's been honorable mention all league back-to-back years. He's blocked five kicks in his career. He played as a freshman on that 2012 team that won the Big 12 championship, and he's not gotten a lot of run, not a lot of preseason All Big 12 honors. I know defensive line is a fairly strong position in the conference, fairly strong unit, in particular at end, but I would have thought there'd be more love for a guy like Travis Britz. It's proven he could do it over the last couple of years.
Yeah, these preseason awards that come out, a lot of it is just who's in your conference. I mean, thankfully for me as a tight end, there's only two or three teams in the league that still use a tight end, so it was pretty easy for me to win that award. But, you know, Travis Britz, you know, when you got guys down in Texas and Oklahoma, and, you know, there's some stud athletes that come out of those, you know, some top draft picks that come out of those programs year in and year out at the D-line position. So, but, you know, I definitely agree with you. Travis Britz is, you know, an anchor on that defense for us. If he gets hurt, our defense drops dramatically. So, underrated, I don't know, but he's just as important as anyone on our defense that I can think of. So when you put it in that standpoint, I'd say, yeah, he's definitely underrated. He's a stud of a player. He's proved years and, you know, this will be his fourth year, proven that he's a, you know, offensive guys, you know, they take notes and they know that he's a force to be reckoned with. He's out there, and he might not have the stats, the tackles, but when you're taking up two blockers, you know, you've done your job. So he's definitely a stud. He'll be a great big-time player for us this year. I'm excited to watch him play.
You see it in him as a freshman early on then?
Oh, yeah.
It is rare. I mean, we talk about Elijah Lee playing last year as a freshman. I mean, Britz did the same thing on a Big 12 title team.
Yeah, especially D-line, super tough to come into and play, you know, your freshman year, just because usually there's a lot of strides to be made in the weight room. But he came in, he's, you know, strong farm kid, I think, from Harrisonville, Missouri. Mm-hmm. So he came in. I don't think he's probably hasn't even gained a pound since he's been here, just because he came in ready to go. But yeah, he was a player you saw first week of practice. You're like, all right, we got ourselves a freshman who can play. That'll help. So yeah, he's been a stud for us. He's going to be a stud for us. And, you know, I don't know if he's quite the caliber level to be able to play at the next level at D tackle, but, shoot, if he doesn't win all conference honors, I'll be very surprised this year.
I think that, it's totally legitimate to say that Travis Britz is a very underrated player. I just think, you know, when we were having this discussion yesterday, it stuck out to me that Travis Britz, while he doesn't have the attention in terms of actually being honored from All Big 12 and things like that, he does still get some talk. I mean, he is still one of those guys that's mentioned right after you talk about Dante Barnett and Danzel McDaniel as important guys on this defense. So we were talking a lot about the definition of underrated and what really fit that category. And so for me, that's why I said Jordan Willis is my most underrated player on the defense, just because he was third on the team last year in tackles for loss behind DeCorey Johnson and Ryan Mueller. I mean, that's really good company that he's with. He's a 6'5 guy. He's going to be an every down guy this year, and I think that he could make a really, really big impact. But, yeah, I mean, both of them definitely fit the mold.
Was Boston preseason?
He wasn't. He wasn't. And so he was the other guy that got brought up.
Yeah, so he's probably about the only guy on offense that I'd put into that category. Just, I mean, he's been playing for, 3 years now, and he was a guy came in with white hair, and, you know, we're looking at him in white hair, and we're like, shoot, we got two studs on this O-line for the next 4 years. And, you know, Boston's, you know, battled some injuries the last couple of years.
That's really the one thing with him. Yeah, if he wasn't injury prone.
If he was like Cody, who's been healthy this whole entire time, I think he'd be up there. But he's been injury prone for whatever reason. And, you know, you look at his body and he doesn't look like an injury prone kind of guy. There's not any deficiencies in his knees or joints or anything. So maybe, you know, unfortunate luck or whatever you want to call it. But he's the type of guy who, you know, if he's healthy, he's a ball player on that O-line. So he's just as good as anyone out there. And so he'll be exciting to watch it too this year. He's really stinking good. And if he doesn't end up on an all-conference team his senior year, I'd be really surprised, just because playing O-line, you know, there's so many positions. It's a little easier to work some guys in there who deserve it. So he's going to be good for us. I'm excited to watch. Hopefully he stays healthy.
Yeah, well, and they're going to have to run the football better, I think, for him to get some of those all-conference honors. That's part of it, because especially when you're talking about, like, issue is the wrong word, but I always think it's a little comical to watch the media try and pick who the best offensive linemen in the conference are, because I mean, how much do we as media really know what's happening between the trenches and what's going on? I mean, a lot of it, you can just look, if you see that, you know, K-State's running the ball 50 yards a game for the last half of the season like it was last year, you know, you're probably not going to throw anybody too high up there on the offensive line on the all-league teams.
Well, BJ Finney made it last year.
He did,
yeah,
based a lot on reputation.
Yeah, that was a reputation
thing. He had been around for so long. Now I say that realizing I'm not in there looking at what his grade is in practice every week. I'm not watching the film all the time, but that's what I think is difficult about it. So if Stuyvesant is going to find himself on those lists, I would think he just doesn't have quite the reputation that Finney
does. Even
so
Whitehair right. now has gotten a little bit of reputation and his NFL grade's gone up. So, you know, I definitely agree with you. He'll have to, you know, if we can have some multiple 100-yard rushing – shoot, not multiple, a lot of 100-yard rushing games, you know, that'll definitely help him. And if our run game can be the strength of this offense, then, yeah, that'll definitely get some notoriety because, you know, him and Cody and Boston will be the two leaders on this team. So, Boston, or Cody's probably a – if he stays healthy and does what he's supposed to do, he'll be a for sure, you know, first team All Big 12er, and you know Boston will probably be that second guy who sneaks in there, his second team, or shoot, he might even be a first teamer. We'll see.
I'll just throw a name out there, just because number one, I wanted to ask you what you thought of him, but number two, I think that he may fit this mold just a little bit as well. No one has talked about this guy whatsoever, and it wouldn't surprise me if he had a pretty good year. Cody Small at tight end.
We talked a little bit. We were shooting.
Or Dayton Valentine. I don't know that Cody Small.
Yeah, I don't know if Cody Small is going to win that job, first off. I think that's going to be pretty open competition. But we talked a little bit when we were shooting those some film for preseason stuff coming out here pretty quick. I think K-State's going to have to use the tight end a lot more this year in the passing game. We're going to have to be having that third, fourth receiver get some reps just to take some pressure off our wide receivers because I don't know if our wide receivers are going to be – fast enough, quick enough, agile enough to get open as much as they should be or have in the past, but that's not necessarily should. So I think our quarterback, whoever that happens to be, is going to have to go to that tight end more to get those 6, 7, 8 yard, you know, dumps over the middle, you know, quick outs and whatnot. So I think our tight end, whoever that is, Cody or Dayton, you know, could easily sneak in there at an honorable mention or a second team All Big 12 spot. And the tight end position is always a little.
Yeah, K-State has a leg up there because a lot of teams in the Big 12 don't use a tight end.
Yeah, but depending on who's voting, sometimes they'll put, you know, if you're a 6'6", 230-pound wide receiver, they're going to – but you're listed as a tight end. So tight ends, you know, there's a lot of subjectivity to who actually gets that True. Vote. I mean, Glenn Gronkowski might end up at tight end
right.
honors this year.
Right.
So, and he's fully a fullback.
Well,
so.
And you even see the debate with, like, Jimmy Graham in the NFL trying to – like determine how much
he got paid for
how much he'd be getting paid if he's going to get paid like a wide receiver, if he's going to get paid like
yeah.
a tight end, so, listed as a tight end but plays like a receiver.
Yeah,
so
and then he ended up
there,
like
yeah.
switching his Twitter over or something, right? So he could get the, what's that called when you're last year your contract and they stinking.
Oh, when you're a free
franchise
agent?
Tag, yeah, franchise when he was getting franchise tag,
right?
And they were going to
get
the franchise tag
was,
for
yes.
this
because yeah.
they averaged the salaries of the positions, and if he was a wide receiver, he would have got paid more. So. Yeah, there's all sorts of, you know, gray area in the tight end position, I would say, just because we're kind of really fast and skinny offensive tackles or we're really fat and slow wide receivers, whichever way you want to look at it. So that's always an interesting one. And, you know, there's as much as I don't think any coach or media member would admit it, there is some seniority that comes involved with this. You know, they're going to give it over to the senior more often than not just because – you know, if he's been a guy who's worked hard and he's been a solid player, you know, and there's a junior who's catching him, you know, that junior's got another year to win that award. So, in that standpoint, unfortunately, there is a little bit of, you know, seniority off the record stuff that goes on. So, it's, you know, part of it. And, you know, grand scheme of things, it's just an awards. Who cares? Let's go win some ball games.
We're short today until 5:30, with you until 5:30, that is. So about 10 more minutes because of Royals pregame. When we come back, we'll have You Can't Be Serious to finish off the show. You're listening to The Game.